Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hotline bringing super friend from the Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman. He is John Greco. John, I'm so bummed out about the game from Sunday. I'm going to do this interview in reverse. Ready? You with me?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
How was your Thanksgiving? And tell me what you cooked for Thanksgiving. Normally, it's the last question. Yes. How was Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was excellent. As in typical fashion, I went to my parents' house and we made homemade pasta. And we've been doing that for, you know, tradition now for probably close to 10 years, my dad and I. And we had a nice crew, and, you know, you had all the normal fixings that you would see on the Thanksgiving dinner table, but we just had that extra element in doing the homemade macaroni, and it's just kind of a thing that my dad and I enjoy to do together, and it was great. It turned out nice, and in typical fashion, I'm, one belt loophole loosened this week and probably for the foreseeable future. But hey, that's okay because it's cold out and I'm usually wearing sweaters and don't have to worry about the pool scene here for another few months.
That's awesome.
But that's in Boardman, right?
In Ravenna, actually.
Oh, moving out.
Yeah.
Out of the Youngstown area. Wow. You okay with that?
They've been there for a while. I'll always have allegiance to the Youngstown area, but I haven't been there for a long time.
All right, we won't tell anybody. Shh, nobody's listening.
No, nobody's going to know. All right, John. I've had this discussion with several folks on the show. I still don't get it when they tell me, well, the Ravens were good against the run and they weren't so good against the pass. You have the number one running team in the NFL, and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt get 15 carries in a game that was close the whole way that you have to win. What the heck? What's going on there?
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating, and from when you're looking from an outside perspective, like we all are, you know, that it just seems so simple. Well, yeah, you know, run it. Why can't we run it with them? They're the best in the league, and you have Kareem Hunt back. We should be focusing on that. And the Ravens had a prolific run defense, and they were susceptible to big plays in the passing game. And I know the Browns were trying to exploit that, as other teams have. But, you know, that's not where the Browns have been good. They're good at running the ball. So yeah, it's easy to sit here and psychoanalyze it and say, why didn't they run it more? And I'll just kind of leave it with this. In my experiences, when coaches run the ball and they try to do it early, and it gets stuffed, or they don't have the success that you maybe are used to seeing, they're very hesitant to continue with it. And if you go out on first down and you hand the ball off and you get nothing, or you take a loss and you're in second and long, and you do it again and you're in third and long, they are very, very quick to, I don't want to use the word abandon it, but they're very hesitant to keep calling it if it's not working early. And in the Browns situation where, you know, it was tight. Yeah, absolutely. But I think we've seen now that the Browns formula is when they're running the ball effectively and they're at their best, it's in the fourth quarter. They're playing with a lead. They're trying to wear the clock down. And you know, those guys have 25 carries combined or 30 carries combined. And the offensive line had been leaning on guys all day and wearing defenses out. That's when you see those big runs pop. And yeah, they're sprinkled in there throughout the game, but that's really the only thing I can come up with, guys. It seems so obvious. Why weren't they running the ball more? And it just seems like they got stuffed early, or they weren't efficient enough early for Kevin Stefanski to continue to call them.
Do you think Kevin's right for digging his, you know, his heels in the sand and saying, no, I'm going to keep calling plays? Do you think so?
You know, gosh, I keep going back and forth on this, and I'll kind of lump this in with the question he was asked about benching Baker. And, you know, look, this team's still 500, right? You know, they're going into this bye. You know, is it what – did they lived up to expectations? No. And they'd be the first to admit that. That's obvious. You know, I don't think he's at this point willing to accept defeat in a sense where, yeah, let me turn over the play calling. Is the product there? No. But I still think, guys, you know, the plays that he's calling, if somebody else was calling the same plays and they're not connecting, what's the point? I don't care if you and I are calling the plays. If they're not executing them or connecting on passes and blocking them, you know, scheming up the runs, I mean, who cares who's calling plays? So, yeah, I'm okay with him, Kevin Stefanski, in you know, your words, kind of putting his heels in the sand and taking a stand there. I'm okay with it. I just think, you know, you hear Baker talk about it. You hear Coach Stefanski talk about it. You hear everybody say it. We're just not executing it. And, they tried trick plays. They tried different things, different wrinkles. And you saw what happened when Jarvis tried to hold onto the ball a little bit and they turned the ball over. So they're trying to do things. You know, is it perfect? Is it what we all want to see? No. But, I don't know what could be different. They're just not executing.
So beyond that, though, I mean, Jeff and I brought this up. One of the reasons why we would say, hey, maybe back off the play calling is to get a bigger picture of what's going on in all three phases of the game. Because, John, that 12 men on the field penalty was embarrassing, knowing what happened on the two plays prior and knowing that they had called timeout. And so then you wonder, okay, well, where was the focus of the head coach when that's going on? Now, maybe it's not fair to blame him for that because you want to give your coordinators and your assistant coaches the power to be able to make sure. I don't even know how could that even happen after what we had seen previous to the – and then just to give them a first down in that situation. It's a bad look.
It's extremely bad, and that was ugly, and that's on them. I mean, that's on that special teams crew. I mean, that's all those guys do is break down tape and look at tendencies, and they have to – you know, the great special teams coordinators that I've been around have been over-prepared. Like, I always draw the comparisons to Chris Tabor, who's in Chicago now. He was not only one of the best special teams coaches that I've ever been around, he was one of the best coaches I've ever been around. I would sit in there for just field goal meetings, and we would sit in these meetings, and not physically, of course, but I feel like schematically and mentally, I would be able to play any position on any special teams unit because of how in-depth he was, how the attention to detail he had. And you know, I digress, obviously, but I think that's the point what we should take away from this. You should be over-prepared. There shouldn't be a situation where you don't practice until you're blue in the face. You should cover every possible scenario in the meetings that you have throughout the week with the special teams in a situation like that, because you know, it's not like they did some earth-shattering formation or something that no one's ever seen before. You have to be able to, you know, run a guy off that's in a punt formation or punt return formation and get your base defense out there. For God's sake, if you see the starting quarterback for the Ravens out there, make adjustments. And you're right. The fact that they gave up a first down, you know, did it decide the game? Probably not, but it didn't help, you know? So that's just a situation where I'm sure this week, as the coaches are looking at film, as they're talking about things moving forward, that needs addressed. And the Browns, they showed a weakness there. They've shown that they're susceptible to, not getting aligned properly, having too many people out there. And who knows, maybe that comes back to bite them in the future where a team might say, hey, let's get them to burn a timeout or let's catch them slipping and run a fake. So, yeah, that's something that's among the list of things that need addressed this week.
John, ultimately, was that play on the defense or on the special teams, or were they thrown by the rule that gave them the whistle the first time that said, no, you get time to change? By the way, I love that rule. I love the rule that you can't just sneak players on offense at the last second that the defense has a chance to match. I love that rule. But do you think they were thrown off by the rule, or do you think this is on special teams or is it on defense because of the situation?
Well, it's going to be on special teams because you have to communicate with the defense. So it's on everybody. It's on the staff. The players need to know and have the awareness and be alert to, you know, what the situation is. If you see the offense out there and you see Lamar Jackson out there, you got to get your defense out there. So that's the thing. It's just the mental slip. You just always have to be dialed in. The special teams coach always has to be dialed in. The head coach always has to be dialed in. The players always have to be dialed in. And that's just what good teams do. So, you know, the fact that happened, the legal procedures, all of these things that we're seeing now that this Browns team is doing, that they're not, it isn't the characteristics that we're used to. We're used to seeing discipline. And now all of a sudden these things are creeping in there and it's costing them games. So they just need to get it fixed. That's as simple as it is. And it starts with each player looking and saying, okay, let me kind of just hunker down again and refocus, re-energize, and try to finish this thing off the right way. And it goes to the coaches too, where it's saying, you can't take anything for granted. Everything is in play here. So we have to make sure people are lined up, make sure people are onside, as elementary as it sounds. We got to make sure people are lined up and aligned the right way, and we got to have the right personnel on the field when it counts.
John Greco joining us, former Browns lineman, Browns Radio Network. Jack Conklin out. That was a tough injury to see. The whole thing was tough, and now Blake Hance, I would assume, is the starting right tackle for the rest of the year. What does that mean overall for the offensive line, John? How do you adjust? And nothing against Blake, but he's replacing one of the best right tackles in the game.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, Jack just can't catch a break. I mean, the guy, you get him back and we're all excited and, you know, he's out again with the knee. So it's unfortunate. It's part of the game. It's just an unlucky break. And, you know, I hope that he's able to heal up and be back better than ever, next season. But to answer your question, Blake Hance, I mean, we've been around this tree before. You know, I've always spoken highly of him. I think he's been really good in the run game. Pass protection, is there a drop-off? Is there a difference? Of course. I mean, that's why Jack Conklin makes the big bucks and he's an all-pro. But, you know what you have in Blake Hance. Are you going to have to, have a running back with his eyes over there on the right side and maybe chip with a tight end a little bit extra? Yeah. And they'll add those mechanics. But at the end of the day, he's got to win his one-on-one battles. And I thought, Sunday night, for the most part, he did an okay job. And everybody, anytime you have a backup player or anytime that you have a situation like this, everyone's awareness has to be up. You know, Baker has to know that, okay, you know, he might be pushing a guy around the pocket not to step up. The interior guys might have to think, I got to be a little extra stout in here in the middle and give Baker room to step up. The play calling has to be a little bit different in with the fact that I just said, maybe guys have to chip on their way out in the route. So they'll work on those things internally. But Blake Hance should be fine. Maybe they slide the protection his way a little bit more. There's things that they can do to built into the offense to help him out a little bit. But, he's played in a ton of games. Is the chemistry there already with wide Teller? Yes, that's already established. He obviously knows everything in the offense. So it's just going to be one of those things that, unfortunately, every team deals with injuries, and that's where we are.
John, I got about 30 seconds. Hey, were you horrified when they showed the video of him walking off the field, Jack, after he got hurt? Like, I couldn't believe they showed it.
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as it happened, I mean, he doesn't get run over like that. So as soon as it happened, I knew something was up. And you just hated to see it. And it was just obviously a gruesome thing. And, you hate to see that for any player, let alone a fellow offensive lineman. And hoping and wishing him the best. And I know that the training and medical staff will have him good as new.
John, thank you very, very much. Appreciate the Thanksgiving input there. We'll have to find out the recipe on the pasta next week, though. That'll give us something
Absolutely.
To talk about. Give us something to talk about on a bye week. How's that sound?
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later. John Greco, always a super friend of the show, joining us right here on Baskin and Phelps. And, of course, He was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.